Before we begin, once again, just wanted to remind the Olam that tomorrow Oraisa is going to be starting to run the Oraisa Tadira campaign. And everyone who's part of this Lima knows just how special this program is. And whatever contribution one can make, so it's a big schus, spreading Torah to tens of thousands of people across the world. So today's Amud is Megillah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We're holding five lines from the bottom by the words Tanu Rabbanan. So says the Gemara that Tanu Rabbanan, Shloisha Mochu Bekipa. We ended off the previous year discussing Achashverosh ruled over the entire world. So on that note, says the Gemara that there are three kings, Shemochu Bekipa, they ruled over the whole entire world, the Eluhain, and these are them. Achav Achashverosh Unvuchanetzar. Those are the three kings. Tosfos points out, Alexander the Great, Alexander Mukdan, also ruled over the whole world, but we don't have any psukim to clarify that. So therefore, the Gemara, the Braisa focuses just on these three, on Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. So Achav, where do you see that Achav ruled over the entire world? The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Chai Hashem Eloikecha, Mi'eshgayu Mamlocha, Asher Leishalach Adoin Yisham Levakeshcha. So this is when Achav was searching the world for Eliyahu Navi, and he had all the kings of all the different nations of the world swear that they didn't know where Eliyahu Navi was. So the fact that everyone was so to speak mechuyev to swear to him, so that shows he obviously ruled over the whole world. The says the Gemara, "V'loy dehava malach alayu." If not for the fact that he ruled over all of them, so heichi matzi mashbaluhu. How can he make all of them make a shvua? Nebuchadnezzar, dechsev, as the pasuk says, "V'haya agoya v'amamlacha asher lo yitin es savaro ba'ol melech bavel." That basically every single kingdom in the world, so they subjugated themselves to the Melech Bavel, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Bavel. So again, you see that Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the whole world, and Achashverosh had Amran. And Achashverosh, we already brought that Achashverosh ruled over the whole world in the previous sugya. Says the Gemara, Vesuleka, are there only these three? There's no other kings that ruled over the whole world? Va'ika Shlomo. Shlomo Melech ruled over the whole world. Says the Gemara, but Shlomo Melech is not listed, because Leisalik Malchusei, because he didn't die the king. He was made into a hedyad, he lost the kingship before he died. Well, says the Gemara, that's a machlaikas. Hanichal Man Damar Melech Vehedyad. That's all good if you go like the Man Damar who says that he was Tako, not the king at the time that he died. El Man Damar Melech Vehedyad U Melech, but according to the Man Damar who says that he was a Melech and then a Hedyad and then a Melech, the Gemara Sugyan Gittin. So if so, so Maikal Meimar, he did die a king. So says the Gemara, like the opposite type of Teretz, that Shlomo is not listed because Shlomo Milsa Achriti Havabe. He had something else that was different about him. Shemolach Al Elyoinim V'Al Tachtoinim. I'm just the opposite. That he was such a king. He wasn't just the king over the world down here. He was the king also of the world up there. He ruled over the Shadim. We have, so Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'yeshiv Shlomo Al Kisei Hashem. That so to speak, Shlomo Melech sat on the throne of Hashem. So he was the Melech on the Elyoinim and the Tachtoinim. That's why he's not included in this list. Ask the Gemara, but there's someone else who should be in this list. Va'ika Sancheirif. Sancheirif, dechsev, as the Pasuk says, that mi b'chol alukei ha'aratzai sa'ila, asher hetzilu es artza miyadi, that everybody, that Sancheirif ruled over the whole world. So says the Gemara, he basically ruled over the whole world. Ha'ika Yerushalayim d'loi kavsha. There was one city he wasn't able to capture, and that was the city of Yerushalayim. Ask the Gemara, Va'ika Daryavish. Daryavish ruled over the whole world. The Chziv, as the Pasuk says, Daryavish Malko Ksav L'chol Amimaya, Umaya V'lishna Di Dairin, B'chol Arish Shalom Choyn Diske. So it says that he sent out these letters throughout the entire world. Sounds like he was the king of the entire world. It says, L'chol Amimaya. Says the Gemara, Ha'ika Shevet Loi Malach Alayu. Then no, we know that Daryavish had seven Medinas that he did not take over. The Chziv, as the Pasuk says, Shvar Kodam Daryavish V'hekam Amuchusa L'achshtar Panya Ma V'es. Then how many Medinas did he rule over? Ma v'esrin, 120. Now we know from Achashverosh on the previous Talmud that there were really 127 Medinas. Here it says he ruled over 120. It means that there were seven that he did not rule over, so he wasn't the king over the entire world. says the Gemara Vayikra Kairish, but there's one king who mamish ruled over the entire world. The pasuk says that Kayamar Kairish, Kairish testified about himself, Kayamar Kairish Melech Paras, that Kol Mamlachay Saaretz Nasan Li Hashem. Hashem made me king over the entire world. So you see that Kairish was the king over the whole world. Says the Gemara, no, that wasn't actually true. Kairish was talking about himself. Kairish was partially lying. He said, I'm the king over the whole world. Shkayach. But he wasn't. So Kairish said that about himself. It wasn't an actual truth. That was just something that Kairish said about himself. So says the Gemara, now continuing to darsh in the Pesukim of the Megillah. The Pasuk says, the second Pasuk of the Megillah, so the whole Pasuk is, Bayamim Mahim. It says, we started off, it was in the days of Achashverosh, Vahibim Achashverosh, and the Pasuk, the next Pasuk then says, Bayamim Mahim, during those days, Keshevis HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchusai, when Achashverosh sat on his throne, Asher B'Shushan Habira, that was in Shushan. So this is actually a very funny pasuk. So it says that he sat on his throne because it says that his throne was in Shushan. It's a very funny way to word a pasuk. It should say that his throne was in Shushan because that's where it's supposed to be, and he sat on his throne. It almost sounds like he sat on his throne in Shushan just because that happens to be where his throne was. He sat on his throne because the throne was in Shushan. Asher b'Shushan habira. So it sounds like almost like it wasn't supposed to be there. By chance, the throne was in Shushan, and Achashverosh therefore sat in Shushan. Wasn't Shushan the capital? So that's where it was supposed to be. So what does the pasuk mean? So the Medrash sheds light on this pasuk. The Medrash says that Achashverosh wanted to have a very big throne. Like we mentioned in the previous year, that Achashverosh did not have royal blood. So he needed to show how strong he was. He needed to have the biggest throne in the entire world. He wanted to have a throne that would represent Shlomo HaMelech's throne. Now he couldn't sit on Shlomo HaMelech's throne. He tried. It didn't work. So says the Medrash, so he had these people built for him a tremendously large throne that he should be able to show off how powerful he is. Okay, so he has them build this huge throne for him. It took them 3 years to build this throne. Where did they build it? You know, so in the olden day China, that was Shushan. Shushan was the hick town, so to speak, the out of town place that it was cheap labor. So he had Shushan, he had them build the throne in Shushan. It took them 3 years. By the time they finished making the throne, they realized they had a problem. This throne was so big, they weren't able to move it anywhere. So now, Shushan was not the capital, like we said. Shushan was some like hick town. But now they have this huge throne, and Achashverosh needs to have his throne, right? Because he needs to show how powerful he is. So he couldn't move the throne, so what does he do? So he moves the capital to Shushan. Shushan now became the capital of Persia. Why? Because that's where Achashverosh's throne was. That's what the pasuk means to say. That Achashverosh sat on his throne that was in Shushan. He sat there because his throne was there. The only reason why Shushan became the capital is because that's where Achashverosh's throne was, and therefore he sat there in Shushan. And this is perhaps just an example of what we meant when we mentioned in the previous year that as we go through the Megillah, so we have to realize that there's three stories going on. There's the pasuk itself, which tells us a very like surface level of the story. It tells us now that even if you look into it deeply, that Achashverosh sat on his throne that was in Shushan, because he built his throne there, so that's why he sat there. So that's what Achashverosh was thinking, right? What was Achashverosh thinking when he moved the capital to Shushan? He was thinking, I need to be a very powerful king. I have this humongous throne that's in Shushan, so I'm going to move the capital there. That probably is not what the newspapers were reporting, right? Achashverosh wasn't publicizing that was his intentions. So what were the newspapers reporting at the time? Probably that Achashverosh made up some sort of economical reasons that it makes sense to have the capital in Shushan. Made up some sort of lie that the papers, you know, made up that it made sense for the economy that the capital should be Shushan. But what was the real story? What's the real story? Why did Hashem make Shushan the capital? That's the third story that's going on. It's because Mordechai and Esther lived in Shushan. And the story needs to, it was a story about the Yidden. Why should Hashem make Mordechai and Esther have to get up and move to Achashverosh? Let's make Achashverosh move to Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther were in Shushan. You know, the Megillah starts off, and I heard this once from Rav Chaim Yitzchak Kaplan. He says that, he said over that you know, the Megillah starts off, we say, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. It says it was in the times of Achashverosh. It sounds almost like it was a story about Achashverosh. This is like a surface level version of the story. It was a story about Achashverosh. there was a bad decree against the Yidden, and Hashem came in, and he saved Klal Yisrael. But what's the real story? Chazal tell us in Al Nisim. What do we say in Al Nisim? We don't say Vahi Bimei Achashverosh. We say Bimei Mordechai VeEsther Asher B'Shushan Habira. It was a story about Mordechai and Esther that were in Shushan. It wasn't that Achashverosh was in Shushan. Adurabba, Achashverosh was moved to Shushan. The real story, if you want to know the depth of the story, it's that Mordechai and Esther were in Shushan. So Hashem made a whole series of events happen so that the capital should move to Shushan because that's where Mordechai and Esther were. On Purim, we learn about the charade of life. Everyone's wearing costumes. Here we have Achashverosh. He's not really a king. He's dressing up as a king. We have him pretending that Shushan is for economical reasons, you know, the best place to have the capital. All different things going on. Everyone's making up lies and wearing costumes and dressing up. And the truth is that Mordechai and Esther were at Shushan. Hashem's running the world and everything is happening for the Yidden. But Al Kapanim, the Gemara here is going to focus on a different Nekuda. The Gemara here is focusing on the fact that the Pasuk Bayamim Ahim Keshevis HaMelech sounds almost like as soon as Melech HaChashverosh became the king, in his first year of becoming the king, so he sat on his throne and he went to Shushan. Says the Gemara that seems to be a steer with a different pasuk. Uksiv, the pasuk says Basrei right afterwards. It says Bishna Shalei Shel Melchoi. It says it starts talking about the third year of his reign. So did this happen in the first year? That's what it sounds like. Keshevis HaMelech, that as soon as he became the king, that's when he threw this party. It sounds almost like right when he became the following pasuk describes the party that he threw for the people of Shushan. Now we know he had to throw the party because he just stepped on their yards. They had a nice town, nice out of town community. And now Achashverosh goes and he moves the whole capital there. So he makes a whole party to try to appease them, show off his wealth. We'll discuss that later. But the point is that it sounds like from the second pasuk of the Megillah that he did that right away. As soon as he sat on his throne, he made this party. But then it says he did this in the third year of his Malchus. So which one is it? So Amar Rava, Rava explains that my Keshevis la'acher shenisyash v'daitai. That when it says Keshevis, it doesn't mean that this is right when he became king. It rather, like we explained, this all happened in the third year. The Megillah starts off in the third year of Achashverosh's reign. It was the third year. It took 3 years to build his throne. That's where we pick up with the Megillah story. When the Pasuk says, "Bayamim Mehim Keshevis HaMelech," it doesn't mean that this story took place right when he became king. Rather, it was Keshevis HaMelech when he calmed down, when it was Nisyash V'daitai, when he felt much better about things. What was bothering him? What did he feel better about? Amar, Achashverosh said to himself that Balshatzar Chashav Vita. Balshatzar tried to calculate the cates. He tried to calculate when it would be that Klal Yisrael would be redeemed. He saw that we weren't redeemed, and he thought that that was a proof that Hashem forsake us, that Hashem is not going to redeem the Yidden. Vital, but he made a mistake. Said Achashverosh, Ana chashivna v'loy teina. I'm going to make a calculation, and I'm not going to make a mistake. I'm going to learn from history, and I'm not going to make that mistake. Mahi, what's this referring to? The chsiv, as the pasuk says, ki lefi m'leis l'bav el shivim shana efkoid eschem. That Hashem was a nevuah that after 70 years from Bavel, from Galus Bavel, so then Hashem's going to remember us, and he's going to redeem us. Uksiv, another pasuk, similar idea, it says that l'mleis l'charvis yushalayim shivim shana, that 70 years after the charban Yerushalayim, so Hashem is going to take us out, Hashem is going to remember us, and we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash. So that was already benevuah, already from the beginning, that the whole Galus Bavel was only going to last for 70 years. So now says the Gemara that Belshazzar made the following mistake. That Belshazzar chashav arba'in v'chamesh Nevuchadnezzar. He figured there were 45 years that Nevuchadnezzar was the king. Nevuchadnezzar was the Melech of Bavel. So from the beginning of his Malchus, that's the beginning of Galus Bavel. So there were 45 years that Nevuchadnezzar was the king. Ve'eser mutlas de'evel mereidach. There were 23 years after Nevuchadnezzar that Evel mereidach was the king. He was the son of Nevuchadnezzar. And then Utarti Didei, and then Belshazzar figured the 2 years of his own king, of his own Malchus, Hashivim, that's 70 years. And so after those 2 years, Apik Mani the Bei Makdasha, he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, Vishtamishbu, he figured he could use them. He figured that, hey, Hashem forsake the Yidden, it's been 70 years, he's not redeeming them. So he figured it was his to use, the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. He was able to use the Kalim. What happened was, Hashem killed him. And that night, he died. So now, that was Belshazzar's mistake. Now, before we get into now what Achashverosh said, and how he was gonna, so to speak, correct that mistake, so says the Gemara first, Unevuchadnezzar minalon darbon v'chamesh nin malach. How do we know? Where do we see it from the Psukim? How do we know from our version of history that that Nebuchadnezzar was the king for 45 years? So before we see the Hemshech of the Gemara, it's good to just give the following historical timeline, Akdama, and that is as follows. 22 years before Churban Bayis Rishay, 22 years before this whole Galus Bavel, 22 years before the Churban Bayis Rishay, so that's when Yoshiyahu, who was the king of Klal Yisrael, that's when Yoshiyahu died, and his son Yehoyakim became the king. Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu, he became the king of Klal Yisrael 22 years before Churban Bayis Rishay. Now, 3 years later, that's when Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Bavel. That's considered the beginning of Malchus Bavel. Malchus Bavel started in the third year after Yehoyakim became the king. The following year after Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Bavel, after 3 years of his Malchus, after 1 year of his Malchus, the second year of his Malchus, that's when he conquered Yerushalayim. So he ruled over the whole world, basically. It was only the following year, though, in the second year of his Malchus, that's when he actually conquered Yerushalayim. So that's going to be an important discrepancy to remember, that the year that Malchus Nebuchadnezzar starts, that Malchus Bavel starts, is a year before the Shnas HaKibush, is a year before he actually conquered the whole world. That's a year before he actually conquered Yerushalayim. During that year, he conquered Yerushalayim, the second year of his Malchus, so Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, and along with that, he also subjugated Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim, who we said was the king at the time, the son of Yoshiyahu, so Yehoyakim was now under Nebuchadnezzar's jurisdiction. He had power over Yehoyakim. Now this went on for 3 years. That matzav was like that. After 3 years, so Yehoyakim started rebelling. Yehoyakim started rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar. And in the fourth year of this rebellion, so in the seventh year of the kibush, which is the eighth year of Malchus Bavel, and it's also technically the 11th year of Malchus Yehoyakim, because we said that Nebuchadnezzar became the king 3 years after Yehoyakim was the king. So at that point, during the fourth year of the rebellion, so Nebuchadnezzar finally kills Yehoyakim, and he appoints Yehoyakim's son, Yehoyachin, or sometimes referred to as Yechaniah, and he appoints him to be the next king, to take over his father's position, to take over Yehoyakim's position. However, Nebuchadnezzar, he goes back to his city shortly afterwards, and his advisors tell him, you know, it's not really Kedai, you just had his father rebelled against you, probably not such a good idea to now have his son be the next king. So he goes back. So Nebuchadnezzar goes back 3 months later to Yerushalayim, and he sends Yehoyachin into Galus. He takes Yehoyachin out of the Malchus. He sends him into Galus. He also sends a lot of Yidden into Galus. And instead he appoints Tzidkiyahu, who was Yehoyachin's uncle. He was another son of Yoshiyahu. He was a brother of Yehoyakim. And so he takes Tzidkiyahu, Yehoyachin's uncle, and he makes him the king instead. So he's now the king he's the one running Klal Yisrael, and that goes on for 11 years. 11 years later, that's already the Shnas HaCharban. After those 11 years, Nebuchadnezzar goes to Yerushalayim, he kills Sidkio, he destroys the Beis HaMikdash, so it comes out all of that is the 18th year after the Kibush, and the 19th year to the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, that's when we have Churban Bayis Rishayin. So now back in the Gemara, so says the Gemara, how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar minalon darban v'chameshan in Malach, how do we know that he ruled for 45 years? So says the Gemara, Damar Mar, because Mar said that Galu b'sheva, Galu b'shmeina, Galu b'shmeina esrei, Galu b'tshasar. So we have a very vague statement. It says that they were exiled in the 7th, the 8th, the 18th, and the 19th. So the Gemara explains what this means is as follows. It's not talking about four different galuyos. Rather, it means as follows. That galu b'sheva l'kibush l'hayakim. It says that they were galu b'sheva, that's referring to the 7th year of the kibush. Of the kibush, meaning which we said was the 8th year of the Malchus, that's when Nebuchadnezzar killed Yehoyakim. And that's when we have Galus Yehoyachin. And that's also when we have Galus Yehoyachin. Like we said, Yehoyachin was appointed to be the next king. And then right afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar backtracked on that one. And he sent Yehoyachin into Galus. Shishmeina Nebuchadnezzar. It was the 7th year of the Kibush Yehoyakim, which was the 8th year of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. And then, so that's the meaning of Galu B'Sheva and Galu B'Shmeina. What does it mean, Galu B'Shmeina Asrei and Galu B'Chasrei? So Galu B'Shmeina Asrei, that's referring to Likibashi Hayakum, and that means what happened during that year was Galu Sidkiyo. Galu Sidkiyo, Sidkiyo was killed, like we said, during the 18th year after the Kibush of Yahyakim. So that's what that means, that they were Galu B'Shmeina Asrei. It means that 18 years after the Kibush of Yahyakim, 18 years after the Kibush, which is 19 years into the Malchus, whereas in the 19th year of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, that's when Nebuchadnezzar went and he killed Tzidkiyo and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And now, where do we know from that there's this year discrepancy? So we said it over, but where do we know it from Chazal that there's this year of discrepancy between when Nebuchadnezzar became the king and when the Shnas HaKibush is? The Amar Mar, Shana Rishayna Kibesh Nineveh, Shnia Kibesh Yayakim, that in the first year, so Nebuchadnezzar, he conquered Nineveh, and in the second year, he conquered Yayakim, that's when he conquered Yerushalayim, and Yayakim was taken under his control. So Ksiv now, and the Pasuk says, that Vayhi B'Shleishim V'Sheva Shana L'Galus Yehoyachin, that it was 37 years after the Galus of Yehoyachin. Now we know that the Galus of Yehoyachin was, already 8 years into the Malchus, 7 years into the Kibush. So 37 years after that, so Melch Yehuda B'Shnei Maser Chodesh, B'Esr V'Chamisha L'Chodesh Nas Evom Reidach, Melch Bavo B'Shnas Machusay, Es Reish Yehoyachin Melch Yehuda V'Yaitzei Esami Beis Kalu. So the pasuk describes the fact that Evom Reidach just became the king, and he took Yehoyachin out of jail. He took Yehoyachin out of the Galus. He took him out of jail. So now that all happened. So when did Evom Reidach become the king? 37 years after Galus Yehoyachin. We said already that Galus Yehoyachin was 8 years into the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. So 8 and 37, Tamnei and Tlasanu Sheva, if you add together 8 and 37, Hari Arboin V'Chamesh, the Nebuchadnezzar. So there you have it, that Nebuchadnezzar was the king for 45 years, upon which Evel Mereidach becomes the king. V'Esenu Tlas Evel Mereidach, and now Evel Mereidach was the king for 23 years, says the Gemara, that's a Gemara, that we just know by Mesaira, we don't have any Psukim to prove it, but we have a Mesaira that Evel Mereidach was the king for 23 years. So 23 plus 45, that gets us to 68. Utarti Didei, and then 2 years of Belshazzar, Hashivin. So we figured the 70 years are up, and now Hashem obviously forsake us. Hashem's obviously not redeeming us. Amar Belshazzar said to himself, Hashtavade Suloi Miparki, obviously it must be that Hashem is not redeeming us anymore. Hashem obviously forgot about us. Apik Mani Debe Mikmakdasha Vishtamishbu. So he went and he used the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, Daniel, and that about this, it's what Daniel said, Valmari Shemayis Rimamto, Ulumanai Dibaise, Haisiu Kadamach. That he said that you made yourself great, you tried to elevate yourself, you went against Hashem, and you took out the kingdom of the Beis HaMikdash. Uksiv in the Pasuk says, Bebelelia Katil Balshatzar Malka Kashdai, that on that night Balshatzar was killed. Uksiv in the Pasuk says, Vidar Yavish Mada Kabu Mahusa Kvarshnin Shitin Vitartin. It says that Dar Yavish Mada, he became the king, the next king, and he was already 62 years old. The point is that you see, so Belshazzar made this cheshbon, and obviously he didn't make the cheshbon correctly. So Amar Achashverosh said to himself, I'm going to learn from Belshazzar's mistake. Ihu mitai tai. He obviously made a mistake in calculating these 70 years. Ana chashivna v'loi taina. I'm going to make a calculation, and I'm not going to make a mistake. Mik siv l'malchus bavel. Does it say that the 70 years of the Galus are 70 years from when the Malchus Bavel begins, meaning from when Nebuchadnezzar becomes king? Le Bavel Ksiv. It doesn't say Le Malchus Bavel. It just says Le Bavel, to Bavel. You know what it means, Le Bavel? My Le Bavel, Le Galus Bavel. It doesn't mean the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, which is the Malchus of Bavel. It means to the Galus of Bavel. When's the Galus of Bavel begin? Galus Bavel is considered to have began by the Galus of Yehoyachin, which is already 8 years into the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. So Kamu Betziran, Tamne. So how much are we missing? 8 years. He was off, Belshazzar was off by 8 years. So, Chashe Vayo Chalifayu. So, Nebuchadnezzar, so Achashverosh rather went and he calculated to try to make up for these missing 8 years. So he figured like this: Chadad Belshazzar. There was 1 year that Belshazzar was the king after those 70. The Chamesh did Daryavish v'Kairish. There were 5 years where Daryavish and Kairish were the kings between the two. Utarti Diday, and then two of his. That's already 8. Hashivin. That's already a total of 70. Kevin Dechazu Demalu Shivin V'Yiparuk. Once he saw that the 70 years were up and the Yidden weren't redeemed, so Amar Hashda Vade Sula. So he figured now we're already going into his third year of the Malchus, it must be Hashem's now redeeming the Yidden. Apigmani de Bemakdisha Vishtamish Behu. So that's what the Pasuk means. Then it was Nisyashiv Daita, then he already felt more calm that Hashem obviously forsake the Yidden. That's when he took out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The third year of his Malchus, that's when he felt more calm. Bas Sata Virike Benayan, however, the Satan of Znos came and he started dancing between them at this party that Achashverosh threw with the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hareg is Vashti, and he caused the whole scene that ultimately Vashti was killed. So that's the story. That's what the pasuk means when it says B'yamim Mahim K'shevus HaMelech. He felt more calm. He felt that the 70 years were up, but really, obviously, he was wrong. Asked the Gemara of Ashaper Chashiv, but it seems like he made a proper calculation. So where did he go off? Says the Gemara, Ihu Nami Mita Toy. He also made a mistake. He should have counted not from the 70 years of Galus Bavel, not from the Malchus Bavel, rather 70 years from the Chorban Yerushalayim, which was 22 years into 19 years rather into Nebuchadnezzar's reign by Galus Sidkio when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So asked the Gemara, still Kama Betziran. So how much was Achashverosh off by? The Charban was 19 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Achashverosh already made up for 8 of those years. So how much was he off? Chatzre, he was off by 11. So Iu Kama Malach. How many years did Achashverosh reign for? Arbesar, he was the king for 14 years. So asked the Gemara, Arbesar Diday, by Leila Mivni Beis HaMikdash. So it should have came out that during his 14 years of the Malchus, so we should have had the Beis HaMikdash. That's when the 70 years were up. Alam Ksiv, so why is it that the Pasuk says, Beidayan Betelas Avidas Beis Elohadi Birushalayim, V'chulu, and the Pasuk goes on to say that it wasn't until the second year of Daryavish's Malchus, Daryavish, who was the king after Achashverosh, he was the son of Achashverosh, it wasn't until the second year of the Malchus Daryavish that we had permission to start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So how is it off? What happened to the 70 years? So Amar Rava explains, because Shanim Mikuta Yishavu. Even though we were rounding off all the numbers, we said he was king for 45, he for 22, 23, him for 2, him for 1, not all these years were actually full years. So if you calculate the years as full years, so then the 70 years really ended by the second year of Daryavish. And says the Gemara Tani Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that seems to support this idea as well, that the years until Daryavish were not complete. It says, "Va'ayt shana acheres above el v'amir Daryavish ve'eshlima." You see that the year wasn't complete, and Daryavish came and he completed the year. So you see that the years weren't actually full years. We were just saying rounded numbers, and really the 70 years ended by the second year of Daryavish. And Amar Rava says, the Gemara Rava says that after Daniel ta b'hai chushbana, even Daniel made a mistake with this cheshbon. The pasuk says, "B'shnas achas amalchoy ani Daniel b'naisi basfarim." He says that I was trying to be ma'ayin in the sfarim, trying to figure it out with the kates, what's going on, what's happening. So midikamer b'naisi, from the fact that it says b'naisi, this lashon mechlal de ta, that's a lashon that he made a mistake, and he was like trying to make the calculation over and over again, and he was trying to figure out where he went off. So you see that also Daniel made a mistake with this cheshbon. So I saw the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Shem Olam and Chelik Beis, Perikid Beis, he points out that if by Malchus, by Galus Bava, where it says Lehedya, that the whole thing is going to be 70 years. And you see, everyone's making mistakes, and even Daniel couldn't figure out how to calculate the 70 years. Even he made a mistake. So Kol Shekin, our Galus that we're in now, and it doesn't say exactly how long it's going to be, it's a waste of time to really start making cheshbonis and when the case is going to be. We hope, Echakalei B'chol Yom Sheyava, but to make calculations, even by Galus Bava, where it said it was 70, they couldn't figure it out how to calculate the 70. Kol Shekin, our Galus, where it doesn't say how many years, it's a waste of time to start making cheshbonis. But says the Gemara, Mikol Malkom Kasha Kraya Adadi. Lamaisa, though, with this 70 years of Galus Bavel, so there seems to be a stira in the Psukim. Ksiv, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, Milois LeBavel. It says that the 70 years are counted from Bavel. Uksiv L'Charbes Yerushalayim. It also says the fact that the 70 years are counted from the Churban Yerushalayim. So which one is it? So Amar Rava, Rava explains that really the 70 years are counted from the Churban Yerushalayim. It doesn't say Molayz Lebavel, that's when we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash back. The Lashon of the Pasuk is, Kichay Amar Hashem, Ki Lefi Molayz Lebavel, Shevim Shana, Efkoid Eschem. It says that 70 years after Bavel, I'm going to remember you. So Amar Rava Lepekida Ba'alma, it just says that there's going to be some sort of Miksas Geula 70 years from Bavel. It doesn't say that that's when we're going to get the Beis HaMikdash back. It just says that there's going to be something that's going to happen. And we know that there is something that happened. That's when, like we spoke at in the previous year, that's when Koresh gave us permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Eventually, that permission was taken back. But there was a Pekida, there was a sign of Geula. They thought that Geula was coming. There was a Pekida. They had permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash for a Tekufa. V'hainu d'chsev, that's what it means when it said, when the Pasuk says, Koyamar Koresh melech paras, ko mamlach ha'aretz nasan li Hashem elokei ha'shamayim, v'hu pakad alai liv nicely Beis Yerushalayim, that he told me that I should give you permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that Koresh gave us permission, it really was Yeshayo, but Koresh gave us permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And says the Gemara, will end with this, that Darish Rav Nachman by Rav Chista, my dechziv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk that says, Koyamar Hashemu Mashicha le Koresh asher echzakti biminoi? It almost sounds like Koresh is Mashiach. So Hashem says, I said to Mashiach, I said to Koresh, v'chi Koresh Mashiach haya? Ask the Gemara, is Koresh Mashiach? Says the Gemara, Ela Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiach. You have to put a comma. Hashem said to Mashiach, that le Koresh asher echzakti, that Koibul ani lecha al Koresh. Hashem said to Mashiach, I'm complaining to you about Koresh. I don't like what Koresh did. Ani amarti hu yivne beisi. I told Koresh, I want you to get your hands involved, go there physically and start building the Beis HaMikdash, v'kabiz gal yaisai, and to bring everyone from Galus back to Yerushalayim. V'hu amar, and what did Koresh say? Nami b'chem ikol amai v'yal. Koresh passed on the permission. He said to the Yidden, whoever you think should do it, so you guys could just go ahead and go do it. He gave them the ability to do it, but he himself didn't, so to speak, get his hands dirty. And to that, Hashem was complaining to Mashiach about what Koresh did.